Just how important are social shares? What about backlinks? I've spoken to Steve Raisin of BuzzZumo to find out. Hey son, Svei son. You tune in to the Link Humans podcast, and I am your host, Jorgen Sundbo. This is where I speak to the innovators out there in HR, recruiting, marketing. This week, very much about content marketing. We're in the middle of November 2016, and what's the weather like where you are? Fairly mild here in London, raining at the moment, actually. And I've got reports from Stockholm, Sweden, where it's 15 inches of snow. Looks like it might be a cold winter up there. So have you done your Christmas shopping yet? A friend of mine is all done already. Well done to her. Another one, let's call him a very close friend, hasn't even thought about the holidays. So we'll see how we get on with that. Anywho, it's time for my expert interview of the week. Let me patch in the English South Coast and talk all about how to buzz up your content. Steve Raisin, welcome back to the podcast.
Thanks, Ian. I'm really pleased to be here. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Thank you. Right, so tell our listeners that haven't heard you on this podcast before what you do and all about BuzzZumo.
Yeah, and I'm one of the owners of BuzzZumo. BuzzZumo is really a content marketing tool. It's to help content marketers understand content that's resonating with their audience. And it's really a research tool to see what sort of content gains shares and links, who's amplifying it, who's linking to it, to see trending content today. So all the research information, hopefully, a content marketer needs in putting together their content plans and tweaking their own content.
So we've used BuzzZumo for about a year or so, and I think it's a really good tool, especially for looking at how well your content does on social media, because you can see shares from all sorts of different platforms, including Twitter, where they turn off their own Twitter counters, which has been really useful. But now, Steve, you turn around saying shares and social is not enough. What's going on?
Yeah, I mean, well, shares are really important. Social shares are important just because of the way people discover content these days. I mean, lots of the evidence is that people discover content more through social platforms than they do through doing a search engine search, for example. So social is still important because it's, you know, how do people find content? And lots of people find it through Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, etc. So social sharing is important, but it's not enough in its own right, really. So, and the things that we've been looking at is really links. I mean, I think we all know that links continue to have power. They continue to be talked of as one of the main ranking factors for Google. So what we've started to do now is we've done a deal with Majestic, who have one of the biggest link databases, and we now show on BuzzZumo not just the content that's the most shared for any topic or domain, but also we show the number of links so that you can see content that gets shares and links. Because it's not unusual to see some content gets lots of shares, but zero links. And ideally,
what's the benefit of links versus shares?
I suppose it's something that, yeah, the difference between the two. I mean, the weaknesses of shares, I suppose, are that even if you get shared on social, most links on social are never clicked. Some people share articles on social that they never read or even visit. I'm sure that's not true of us or other people, but there are a lot of people who will share stuff without reading it. Social posts also have a limited shelf life. You know, if you missed that tweet this morning, will you ever see it again? And also, social sharing has a different format. It tends to explode quite quickly. It gets shared a lot, but after a week or so, the social sharing tends to die down. Links are almost the reverse. Links are much, much harder to get, but they have more longevity. They tend to give your site more authority as well. And we know links are the sort of things that Google will also use to assess your content in terms of its quality and authority. So they're quite different, really. Social sharing takes place faster, easier to get, in my view. Links, they're much harder to get, but they give your content more authority and more longevity, really. So in an ideal world, your content would get both in an ideal world. And so What we've been researching is how can we help people understand what content gets shares and links? So what of your own content? What's been getting shares? What's been getting links? What can we learn from that in terms of future content planning?
So just to back up a little bit, so when Google started organizing the internet, they realized that content that gets links, the more links content gets, that the more authoritative it is and probably more useful. And that's how they ranked back in, I don't know, the 90s. Is that, are links just links and quantity of links? Is that the number one factor for Google ranking now?
I mean, Google themselves seem to report to a number of things. I mean, there's the emergence of RankBrain, their new sort of set of algorithm tools. But even with that, they're still saying that links are one of the important factors. They're saying their RankBrain algorithm, content links, and the content itself, which makes sense. Obviously, not all links are equal. If you get a link from the BBC, it's very different than getting a link from my personal blog or something. But I think what matters is particularly domain links. So what we show on Buzzsumo now is the number of unique domains that link to your article. Because you might get lots of external links, but there might be 5 links from the same domain. So what we simply show you, the simple number that appears, is simply the number of unique domains that link to your content. So we're looking at linking domains. Obviously, the domain authority will vary, and you can dive in further in Buzzsumo to look a lot further and look at domain authorities of sites. But in simple terms, when you do a search now on Buzzsumo, we'll show you the number of total number of shares and the total number of domain links.
Okay, all right. And so we look at your research. You've got some pretty interesting findings on here. What's surprised you the most?
Yeah, I mean, I've just spent weeks, really, a month, just going through looking at, you know, all different types of content and links and shares, just to see if I can understand, are there types of content that are more likely to get links and shares, as opposed to just shares or just links? And there seems to me to be a number of types that do that. So one obvious one is a simple one, so content that answers questions, in particular authoritative content that answers questions. So it might be as simple as, you know, what is content marketing, what is shareable content, what is a backlink? Often those sorts of posts, those posts that answer questions, they get shared quite well, but they also gain a lot of backlinks because people refer to them, I think, almost as references. So putting content marketing, you link through to a what is content marketing definition. So certainly content that answers popular questions, that seems to do incredibly well. And yeah, there are some classic examples, really, but one of the ones that stands out for me is what is content marketing by Content Marketing Institute. Obviously, they're an authority. It's a short post they've got on what is content marketing. Doesn't have that many shares. It's in the sort of 5,000 or 6,000, but it's got over 2,000 domain links, which is huge, really. So you imagine the power of that to your site. You've got one article that gives you 2,000 different domain links. So I think content that answers questions has the potential to get a lot more links. But there are some caveats, and the caveat is you have to be, I think, some form of authoritative answer on what is. So I think you need to think about what are the areas where you have authority. So in your case, it might be, you know, what is influencer marketing, what is, you know, those sorts of areas. And for us, it might be what is shareable content. But an area where you have authority, I think sometimes we neglect as content marketers some of the basic questions as well. There are always new people coming into our industry. And for us, it may sometimes seem old hat because I've been talking about stuff for years. But actually, we forget sometimes that those things do well. So content that answers questions seems to do well in both shares and links. The one that I think surprised me a bit more was strong opinion posts or controversial posts. They get shares, but they also really attract links. And I did some research last year with Moz, where I looked at lots and lots of content. And I looked at the different sections of newspapers like the New York Times and The Guardian. And what I found was that the content on the opinion pages and sections of the site actually got a lot more links than the other content. So I explored that further, Ridge, and started looking more at controversial posts. And there seems to be no question that controversial content gets shares, but it also gets links. And the best example I've seen of this in our own space is Mark Schaefer's post on content shock. So he wrote a post a while ago now saying, you know, content marketing is not a sustainable strategy. Or words to that effect. You know, so that's slightly, Mark would say it's not controversial, but it was certainly a strong opinion piece. And it got, I'm just looking at it now, it got over 4,500 shares, which is quite good. But it got 900 domain links. Now, to put that into context, Mark's entire blog only has 1,500 domain links. So more than 50% of all the links to Mark's blog are to that one post. And I don't know whether that's because people link because they support the view or whether they link because they want to take issue with the view. But people do seem to link to sort of controversial content. And the same is true if you go into the political arena. Michael Moore's now famous post, I suppose, Five Reasons Why Trump Will Win. Typically, he doesn't get more than about 50 to 60 sort of domain links generally for his content, sometimes 100. That post got over 1,000 domain links. So his post, Five Reasons Trump Will Win, got over 1,000 domain links, which is high even for his site, really. So strong opinion posts seem to get, you know, lots of links. The other type of content that always gets links is research posts. We found this again in our research last year where we looked at 1 million posts. We were looking for correlation of shares and links. The one site where we found a really strong correlation of shares and links was sites like Pew Research. They publish research content and it gets lots of shares, but it also gets lots of links. And there's very little question to me, really, that if you publish good original research, people not only share it, they link to it. And it's much more likely to gain links. And again, examples from our own area, I mean, if you look at sites like Social Media Examiner, they get quite a lot of links because generally how-to posts do quite well on links, and they publish a lot of those. But actually, one of their most linked pieces of work is what they call their annual Social Media Marketing Industry Report. So they do research on the industry and publish an industry report every year, and that always gets more links than other content on their site. So the recent one for 2016 got over 500 domain links. And that's good even for a site like Social Media Examiner, which is most posts typically get less than 100 links to them. So original research gets links. And it doesn't have to be your own research. That's interesting. I think if you jump on things fast enough and you write a review of research, then you can do quite well as well there because you're still sharing it with people. You're putting a slant on it, some context on it. So it doesn't necessarily have to be your own research, but you would have to jump on it quite quickly. But research posts do particularly well, really. So,
and that's something you guys do a lot as well at Buzzzuma, isn't it?
Yeah, we do a lot around that, and that's where we do quite well. I mean, we're a small blog, you know. I mean, I publish about one post a month generally, but some of my posts get 250 domain links, and I think it's because they're research-based. So people use them as reference material. And so I think one of the strong things about our blog is we don't do a lot of content and we don't get masses of shares. We might get 2,000 or 3,000 shares on a post, but often we'll get 150, 200 links. And that's really powerful in terms of improving the strength of our blog. So I think research works well. So I think it's worth people thinking about in your content plan, you know, are we doing any research? Are we commenting on research? Because people like that. I think other sort of posts that get lots of links tend to be authoritative posts about new developments, and that's hard. Unless you're an authority, it's hard for you to post something authoritative about a new development. But people who do this well, you know, like I think Search Engine Land did one about, you know, I remember the post saying confirmed, you know, Google to no longer show ads on the right and they're now above your post, etc. Seems fairly small, but that's got masses of links. And I think it's because they made it sort of official. They just said, confirmed, Google to no longer show ads on the right, etc. And, you know, if the BBC or TechCrunch publish something about a new iPhone feature, if they're the first and they're an authoritative site, that content tends to get very well linked to. But harder for us as average content marketers to do that because you have to build authority in the first place. I think the one exception to that is about trending topics. Sometimes you can jump on a trending topic, but if you just jump on a trending topic, it tends to get shares and not links. But if you can provide some real insights, and a good example of this was I saw one on Pokemon Go, which was, you know, how small businesses are using Pokemon Go to drive sales. That actually got about 1,000 links. And I think it was because it jumped on a trending topic, Pokemon Go, but it was practical how-to content. And in my experience, things like how-to posts generally get a few more links. So they're the sort of things I've been looking at, is trying to pull out patterns, really. But obviously, people need to find out what patterns work for their own content. So you can put into Buzzsumo, or you can look in other tools. But in Buzzsumo now, you can put in your own domain, and we'll show you all your content, what's getting most shared and most linked. And so it's interesting, I think, just to look at your own content in terms of what's working. So our most shared posts are actually some list posts. I think they're like 23 experts on tips, for example, and actually they've gained us the most shares.
23 is the magic number, isn't it?
Yeah, 23 is the magic number at the moment. It's the most used on BuzzFeed at the moment. But those posts have done well in terms of shares, but not so well in terms of links. I think they've gained us like 30 domain links, whereas then a research post might only get less shares, might get 2,000 or 3,000 shares, but it's getting 150 domain links, for example. So just in terms of our own little site, we can see the sorts of content that's driving us links. So when we're putting together our content plan, we need to get a balance of content. Obviously, it's always about balance of content, but we need to make sure we're publishing some of that cornerstone content. And I think content that gains a link does become the cornerstone content. So that Mark Schaefer post where you're getting 900 domain links for one post, that's really powerful in terms of your site. So I think it's thinking about you need those sorts of posts, and they make up for lots of posts that get lots of shares but no links. So the new business, we just give people both that sets of data now. So it may not be what I'm seeing in terms of patterns. You may find something different for your own site. But we just provide that data now so that people can see both sides of it. And I think it just gives you a more rounded view of how content's performing. So shares are important, but on their own, they're not enough.
And for your average marketer in a company out there, what would be the main one or two takeaways from your link analysis? What should they be focusing on?
Yeah, I would go back to those examples that I found. So if you're putting together your content plan, in my view, does your plan contain some of these sorts of content which tends to attract links? So are you writing posts that answer questions like simple what is posts? Are you putting together any strong opinion posts? And I think it could be worth strong opinion posts. There's a danger in it, but I think, are you doing something which is a strong opinion post? Are you pushing out content which is original research and insights? So I think they would sort of take away, I'd say, is that thinking about your content plan, where are the opportunities to include that type of content? Because it's more likely to get links. Or where can you even take a strong opinion? If most people think one thing, can you take an alternative opinion at the classic level? That's what Michael Moore did, I suppose, on that Trump post. But you can do that. I mean, I did it in a small way because people have always said quality matters on content. I think that's true. But I published a post about, quantity matters more than quality, because all the data is from Washington Post and other sites. Is the more content you produce, actually the more shares, links, and traffic you get. And it's not about quality. Actually, if you look at the data suggests if you just publish 20 blog posts, you get more traffic than if you publish one, even if it's a really high quality one. And so I was just trying to be controversial and say, is the future quantity, not quality? And that got me a lot more links. So I think
is it right? Is it quantity or quality, or is it both?
It's difficult to say. I mean, the data would suggest, it's a terrible thing, but the data would suggest that actually, there has to be a certain quality threshold, but the data would suggest that actually producing a large volume of content consistently at a minimum threshold level, actually, overall, that drives more traffic. So if you're doing a post a day as opposed to I just do a post a month, you can get more traffic.
But would that be more traffic from social then, or would it also have an impact on search?
Well, there are questions like that, because if those posts aren't gaining links, etc., are they going to add to your authority of your site? But if you look at some of the sites like HubSpot's a classic, HubSpot publishes a huge amount of content. Some of the big influencers publish huge volumes of content. And there is an argument that it works. So it's interesting. I took the example of the Washington Post and Jeff Bezos, really, because he's really doing with that what he did with Amazon, which is producing content for the long tail. So typically you get your best-selling books, etc. Amazon's effectively now stock books on anything, so people can buy really niche topic books on whatever it happens to be, the niche particular topic, but overall the sales of those small long tail books add up to more than your bestsellers. And what he's doing on the Washington Post is they're now publishing 1,000 posts a day, so if you consider that, 1,000 pieces of content a day. And so they're catering a lot for particular niche audiences. And their traffic, is risen quite substantially on the back of that.
Yeah. Do they have bots writing? Because I know, for instance, AP.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They do. Like AP have bots writing now. Yeah. I think we're going to see more of this.
Hard,
and that was also
hard to compete with, isn't it?
And I think there is a place for it, unfortunately. It's unfortunately, 50% of all Washington Post Olympics reporting, they said, was written by bots. Because there's a certain type of content, I think data-driven content particularly, which you can write from a bot. So a sports report, you can say, you know, particular swimmer came, you know, second in the synchronized swimming or whatever, and a bot can write a story or at least provide you with a base to edit very quickly. And I know the AP, they use financial reports. So as soon as Apple publishes financial reports, the bot writes a story within seconds, which is just saying it's the best result since whatever period, etc. It just takes the data and writes a quick story. So it's only suitable, I think, for that type of story. But there's increasingly a lot more automated content out there, and sites like Narrative Science and Automated Insights. I mean, they will write you algorithms where you then just pour in your data and they will just create stories for you. And so we could do that at Buzzsumo. We could just pour in data on the most shared stories of the week, and Automated Insights or Narrative Science would just use their bots to write us a story every week on the most shared content. And it is getting better. It's you know, there, it's not opinion content and those things, but the good way to test it, I always say for people, if you've not seen it, if you go to Narrative Science, you can sign up to their tool. I think it's called Quill. You can give it access to your Google Analytics, and it will write you a daily or a weekly report on how well you're doing. You know, and it's data driven, but you can see it has a purpose. It has a particular niche that it serves, really, because if you're the Washington Post, you're not going to cover every baseball match or every Olympic sport, but a bot can cover it for you. So it might be simple content, but I think, personally, I think we're at the really early days of automated content. Yeah. I think bots will get a lot cleverer. Also, I think at the moment it's quite expensive. Not that expensive, but you can get Narrative Science, somebody to write you algorithms for your stories. I think a lot of these algorithms will become open source. They'll become more freely available. And that's my real worry. My worry is some blog writers may suddenly just produce loads of content. You know, we could do that. But we could easily take one of their algorithms and say, right, the most shared story is on fly fishing today. The most shared story is on, you know, whatever I'm saying, recycling today. We could just push out stories all the time using automated content. Now, there are downsides to that as well, but I can see it has a, you know, there are particular markets it can serve, so I think we will see more content, which is sort of worrying for us, but I still think there is a place for good quality opinion content, etc.
I would think being a thought leader or having a voice and or opinions and so on, that will be even more important, because if you just write vanilla content, then you run the risk of being replaced by a bot.
I think it's a good point. If you're writing content, but you're not adding original insight, some flavor, opinion, etc. to it, then maybe a bot can write what you're writing. so there is a danger for you. We've all got to up our game a little bit, I think, in that sense. But I think the other danger is just there is simply so much content on the web now. I think now Google's indexed over 30 trillion pages. Like 70 years ago, it was 1 trillion pages. The number of new blog posts on WordPress being published every month is over 80 million blog posts now, and that's just WordPress. But everything is rising. The internet population is rising. The tools to create content are getting so much easier. So you've got more people creating content, particularly video. I mean, it's so easy to create video content now and post that to Facebook or somewhere else. But in all senses, it's easier to create graphical, infographic content. It's easier to create just written content. I just think the only way that, I mean, we're just going to see more and more content. So more and more content competing for attention. So you've got to find a way of how your content stands out in amongst all that content. Because it seems to be almost inevitable there's going to be more content published on the web. So the real question is, how do you stand out? And I think it's about building your own audience. And so I think my content is very research-based. It's a bit nerdy, so I've probably got a particular audience who are interested. Yeah. It's not a particularly wide audience, but I think you have to build and nurture your own particular audience. And I think it's never been more important to think about your audience and building and connecting with your audience rather than trying to reach everybody, because there is just so much content out there, I think. So I think there are challenging times, there are exciting times as well, but challenging times as well, I think.
Yeah, yeah. And we'll see in a year's time if you launch Buzzsumo.
Yeah, I don't think we can we'll go that way, but there are lots of good tools. They do have a look at the Narrative Science, Automated Insights. I think we'll see more bot-driven content. I think the interesting thing is you won't know it's bot-driven. I think it'll get that
much
better.
Thing,
you won't actually know whether it's bot-driven or
Especially if it's by AP or, you know, a press release, then it's not, you don't expect it to be a byline, really. So
yeah, and if you see some of their content, actually it's fine. It does what it does, really. If you want to get, so I think they get reports out within, I think it's within like 2 minutes of a company publishing its results, but it's bot written. But it would just say Apple results up. It was the highest for 3 years, or the lowest for X. It gives you the basic data. Then they'll write an opinion piece later, but they'll get that immediate story out very fast using a bot. And that may be all you need initially.
Yeah.
So there is a place for it. But I think, yeah, the interesting times for us as content marketers, just because, you know, maybe Mark Schaefer's right, the simple sheer volume of content out there, it's more and more important in terms of how you amplify your content and how you build your own audience, I think.
Interesting times. Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time, Steve. Where do you want to send our listeners?
If people want to try it out, if you want to see what content is getting shares and links, just go to buzzsumo.com. We have a free version that you can use, but we also have a free 14-day trial. Just go there and check it out, because I think it's interesting to see what other people learn from content, but there's no substitute, I think, for putting in your own domain or your own topics and seeing what content's getting links and shares.
Great. Steve Raisin, many thanks for your time.
No, thank you very much.
Okay, I hope you got a lot out of that chat. I know Steve is always happy to chat on the Twitters, so do hit him up there. Everything that we discussed will be in the show notes articles. All the show notes articles are, of course, available at linkhumans.com/podcast. Finally, would you, your company, your brand or product want to be featured on this podcast? Just get in touch with me, send me an email at jorgen@linkhumans.com, and we can take it from there. That's it for this week. Many thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to catching up with you next time.
The quote I like most is that we wake up dumber than we went to bed, because the volume of content knowledge in the world is growing every day. So when you wake up, there have been new research reports, new products. So we all wake up dumber than we went to bed. We know less as a percentage of the knowledge of the world than we did before we went to bed. So we have to keep learning, really. So I suppose if there's a motto in mind, it's always about continuous learning is the key. But yeah, I think it's, you know, don't wake up dumber than you went to bed.